Okay, this is our last year before Rosh Hashanah.
Oh no!
Sorry. Next Monday,
what
I will
are you
be
doing
not present.
Yeah, for the other shoulder.
I will not be.
Nothing
to laugh for Sukkah. So November 4th, Mirat Hashem.
Wait.
Erev. Yeah. Well, the Monday after Yontif, I will also not be here because I will be off for a few days after that. But the month, because Yontif ends on Shabbos. Well, it ends on Yontif. Friday, but you know, the next day then Shabbos, and then I'll be off for the week after that. But then the week after that, November 4th, Mirat Hashem.
Parshas Noach,
Erev, the election.
That's the scary part.
We're never going to know what happens.
We'll prepare for that. Yeah, exactly. So, oh, yeah, whenever it happens, I'm gracious. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so I thought we'd. Yeah, exactly.
Mystery.
I'm going to talk about gracious even. But, okay. Whatever. Okay, so I thought we'd talk today about Parshin Samba Yelech, but a mitzvah or a concept talked about in the Parsha that is actually extraordinarily relevant to Rosh Hashanah also, and it kind of gets us right in the right place, I think, hopefully, for Rosh Hashanah. So take a look in source number one. I guess we can start from the top, but well, I really want to get you down to Pasuk Yod Aleph, as you can see where it's bolded. But start from the top. So when all these things happen, the good things, the not so good things, what's going to happen? You're going to do tshuva. Eventually, Kal Yisrael is going to do tshuva. And you're going to return to Hashem and listen to His voice. Just by the way, as we're reading it, right? After Hashem says, after I do all this bad stuff to you, what's going to happen? The Kal Yisrael is going to like wake up. And people who were never connected to religion are going to start becoming religious. People who never kept Shabbos in their whole life are going to start keeping Shabbos. Just saying. Okay, sorry. Very interesting. I felt that way, unfortunately, last week also when we read the Tochacha. There's so many things. I feel like every week you're like reading the Parsha and you're like, holy cow, it's like right now. You know, it's literally right now. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shavuscha V'riachachma. And all of a sudden, so many more people are going to start going back to Eretz Yisrael. Nefesh B'Nefesh is going to be overrun like they are right now with people interested in thinking and talking about going back to Israel. Okay, fine, just saying. V'shav V'kibetzcha Mikol Amim. I'm going to gather you in all the... Right, I'm going to gather you in all the countries where people are going to become more, antagonistic to Jews. Sorry. Okay. Anyways, we're reading Pesukim. Mikol Amim Basher Efitzcha Hashem Lokecha Shama. Im Yani Darcha Bekse Hashem Misham Kabetzcha Hashem Lokecha Misham Kecha. If you're being cast aside, don't worry. Hashem's going to bring you in back to Eretz. Eviyach Hashem Lokecha LaArch El Eretz Aretz Asher Yeshua Vasecha VeYishai Hashem's going to bring you back to Eretz Israel. Peitivcha VeHirbecha MiAvasecha. Things are going to be great. Hashem's going to circumcise your heart, meaning uncover the coverings of our hearts that are making us separate from Hashem. And then, says the Pasuk Yod Aleph, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, ashanochi mitzavcha hayom, because this mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, lo niflesi mimcha v'lo rechokahi, it's not too hard for you, and it's not too far away. Lo b'shamayim hi, it's not in this heavens. Le'mor mi yalanu b'shamayim v'kachel lanu. Who's going to, who am I sending up to Shemayim to get it from me? V'yashmi'enu osav v'nasena, and I'll listen to it and do it. V'lo me'ev layamu, and it's not across the ocean. Le'mor mi yavar lanu v'yavar hayam. Who's going to go across the sea for me to get it? V'kachel lanu. V'yashmi'enu osav v'nasena, and that way I'll be able to do it. Rather, ki karov elecha adavar me'od, v'ficha uv'yavav chalasos. So rather, it's very, very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do. Eitan Katz has turned this to a beautiful song, but fine. And a big, big question that all of the Rishonim want to know is, what's the mitzvah? This mitzvah, not too far away. It's not in the Shemayim. It's not across the Yam, but rather it's very, very close to you, in your mouth, in your heart, to do it. The problem is, the Torah doesn't tell us what it is. What's a mitzvah zos? What is that? What are you talking about? What do you think?
What was before this?
I don't...
Well, before Yud Aleph is.
No, it says somewhere in there to love Hashem with all our heart.
Okay. I gave you the 10 psukim before for a little context. Right? Okay. If you think about it.
I never paid attention to the fact that it's mitzvah hazos and not hamitzvos, because when I read it, I just think keeping the Torah. Like, we just had this whole
keeping the Torah is not far away.
And what happens if you don't do it? And then this is why you should do it. So it's like, that's the it.
Right.
But it does say.
But it is in this singular form. Yeah. Hamitzvah hazos. This mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So the question is, which one? If you had to guess, what would you say? Okay, loving Hashem. Why would you say that?
It's right there.
Meaning, because that's, we're talking about that sort of in the context. It sounds like it a little bit. Okay, good. Anything else we're talking about in context here?
I mean,
it's hard, right? It's not so obvious.
Right. I mean,
I don't think it's so obvious.
It could be tshuva.
Why could it be tshuva? Okay, so some conversation about tshuva. Hashem says eventually we're going to do tshuva.
Right.
So maybe it's a mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva is a mitzvah, okay? Okay, so let's see.
Right.
Let's see. It's not so obvious.
Right.
It's not so obvious. Ki mitzvah azos. What are you talking about? We don't know. So, good. So take a look at Rashi. Source number two. Rashi says, Lo bashamayim hi, right? Shilu haisa bashamayim haisa tzarich la'alos achareb v'lalomda. Right? Right? If it was in Shamayim, I have to go up to Shemayim to learn it. Kikar velecha haTorah nitna lachem b'ksav u'ba'al peh. What mitzvah does Rashi think mitzvah zos is?
Torah shebasad
shav ba'al peh. Yeah, so the mitzvah is then
to follow the Torah.
But there's a specific mitzvah. So maybe Talmud Torah, right? I just want to check. I don't know why I have this like this. Is Rashi, rather being so esoteric, I should have seen if Rashi says it on the quiz box. I just pulled it from something else that I have, but the truth is, K'mitzvah Zos. No, he doesn't say. So Rashi doesn't define the word, that's why I don't have it here. Rashi doesn't define Hamitzvah Zos, doesn't define it, but it sounds like. If it was in Shemayim, I have to go up there in order to learn it. But rather, it's very karov. The Torah is given to you. B'chsav ba'peh. So according to Rashi, this is how everyone says it always. Rashi means the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right? The mitzvah of learning. Right? It's not b'shamayim. It's not, right? It's not me'iv layam. It's right here. Karov alecha davar me'o b'ficha u'bilvavcha. Right? It's to talk about, to learn it, to write, to some of the Rishonim point out. That's the source of the idea of like Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? You should connect yourself to the Torah Shabbat Peh, which explains the Torah. But there's another giveaway that this, I shouldn't say giveaway, another way that it seems clear that Chazal believe that this phrase or that this mitzvah is referring to Torah. How do I know? Take a look at source number three. Source number three is a Gemara that tells a story. And that story is called the Tanur Shel Achnai. The oven of Achnai. What in the world are we talking about? We're talking about a question that came up with the Chachamim about a certain oven, whether it could become Tahor or whether it become Tameh. Is it possible to become Tameh or Tahor? And there's a big discussion in the Amoraim then, whether or not this thing, who would pass it like one way, do we pass it like the other way? Okay? And so take a look in the Gemara for a second. Zehu Tanur Shel Achnai. I have the English below here also. My Achnai, why is it called? Achnai means a snake. So why is it called Achnai? She Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel She Kifu Devarim Kachnai V'Tim Uhu. Why? Because the rabbis surrounded it with their statements like a snake, right? And deemed it Tameh. Okay. And what happened? Amar Lahem. Sorry. Tana Ba'osayom Heishi Vebel Yezer Kol Tshuvo Sheba Olam V'Kib Lo Kiblu Heimen. And Rabbi Yezer wanted to say that's not true. It should be Tahor. I don't get into details of why Tamar, where Tamar. The bottom line is, should this special oven, should it be Tameh or should it be Tahor? I mean, Belazza gave 100 reasons why he's right, and they didn't accept him. And what were his reasons? The following. Amar Lahem, he said to them, as you read the story, you're going to probably be a little more familiar with it. Amar Lahem, im halacha kamosi, if I'm right, charuv ze yochiach. This tree, right, which is a carob tree, will prove it. Ne'kar charuv mimkoma mea ama. The carob tree will get up, right? And it was up, it got up from its place, and it moved 100 cubits, right? And some say, right, the Amrila arba meos ama, moved 400 amos. And amos like a couple of feet. So it moved 800 feet. Okay. So that's a good proof that he's right. Some tremendous, crazy miracle happened. Amrilo, ein mevin ra min acharuf. No, sorry, there's no proof from the carob tree. Chazav Ramalem, im halacha kamosi, emas hamayim yochichu. If I'm right, then this water, stream of water will prove it. Chazru ema samayim la'acharei. And what happened? The stream was flowing this way, and it started flowing backwards. The water started flowing backwards. The little water, the little stream. Amrulo emevin ra'im min ema samayim. I don't care. The fact that you have a miracle happen with ema samayim, that doesn't prove anything. Chazru amlem im halacha kamosi kosei beis hamedrash yochichu. If I'm right, then the walls of the beis hamedrash will prove it. Hitu kosei beis hamedrash lipol. The walls of the beis hamedrash start to fall in. Gar behem of Yeshua, Amar lahem, im tavdecha chamim in natschim in zeh zeh alacha atem atifchem, lo nafnu play kvodo shal Rabbi Yeshua. So Yeshua said, hey, he like basically stops the walls from falling in. Okay? Fine. Let's keep going. Chazer v'amar, skipped down another line. Chazer v'amar lahem, im halacha kamosi min ha-shamayim yochichu. If I'm right, then the heavens will prove it. Yat Sabatzko v'amra, a voice came out from Shemaim and said, Malachem Eitzer Rebbe Eliezer, Shalachakam Moshe B'chol Mokom. Why do you guys buy Rebbe Eliezer? He's right. Listen to him. Amar Rebbe Yeshua Aragla v'amar. Rebbe Yeshua got up and he said, Lo b'shamayim hi. Lo b'shamayim hi. It's not in the heavens. My Lo b'shamayim. What does that mean? Amar Rebbe Yirmiya, Shekevar Nitin the Torah Mehar Sinai, the Torah was already given to Har Sinai. Ein anu mashkichim bebaskol. We do no longer listen to Hashem about the Torah. Shekvar kasva b'har Sinai, kasavta b'har Sinai b'Torah acharei rabim lahatos. You said in the Torah acharei rabim lahatos. What does that mean? We follow the majority opinion. The majority opinion was against Rabbi Eliezer. So you gave us the rules, Hashem. We paskin against him, and the fact that you, Hashem, call out halachas Rabbi Eliezer, we don't listen to you. Why? Because you're contradicting yourself. You already gave us the rules of how to paskin, and we don't listen to Hashem. We listen to Basco, we listen to us. Lo b'shamayim hi. Hey, where does our pasuk come from? Here. Right? This is our pasuk. Lo b'shamayim hi. Okay? So, therefore, Rashi and many others learn from here that this pasuk, lo b'shamayim hi, means what? It's referring to the Torah itself, right? That the Torah, Talmud Torah, is not min shamayim. Rather, you've given it over to the Jewish people. You've given it over to us. And at this point, we don't ask anybody else, there many of the Rishonim learn this also, like, this is how you know that you can't have another Navi who's ever going to come and say, I heard from Hashem, he said to change the mitzvos. I heard from Hashem, he said, don't do this anymore. I've heard from God, there's a new Israel, right? All kinds of people who are going to say things about the future of the Jewish people. We don't listen to them. Lo b'shamayim hi. Once the Torah is given, it's finished. So according to Rashi, this pasuk is teaching me that don't think the Torah is far away. Don't think the Torah is something we have to go to Shemaim with the answers for. It's here for us. We have this in many, many places, right? We talk about, you know, the pasuk says that you should go El HaShoftim Asher HaShofet Asher Yebavimahim. You have to go. If you have a question, you go to the Shofet in your days. Why say the Shofet in your days? So Chazal say, because sometimes someone's going to say, yeah, I'm going to come to my, this rabbi. You know, I used to go to Moshe Feinstein. I used to go to the Vilna Gaon. I used to go, this guy, well, I'm not going to ask this guy. The answer is, every generation has its own rabbis, has its own people to go to, right? Meaning, at some point, you have what you have. And we don't say, well, if I could go to Shemaim and ask them. No, we don't go to Shemaim and ask them. We are human beings, and we're given the Torah, and we use the Torah as we see fit. That's dangerous also, right? It can be dangerous also. But that there becomes an understanding that once the Torah is given to human beings, so Chazal then take over, and they're able, again, using the methodology that was given to them on Har Sinai by Moshe Rabbeinu, but through that Mesorah, they continue to teach the Torah. Fine. That's one shot in Lo b'shamayim. Lo b'shamayim, he refers to the Torah. Mitzvah zos is the Torah. Fine. Yes? Maybe? Okay. Good. Fine. Source number four, the Ramban. The Ramban has a very different take on this mitzvah. V'tam ki ha-mitzvah hazos, he says, v'anachon ki ala Torah yomar, right? He says, sounds like it's about the Torah. Yomar ki kol ha-mitzvah shanochi mitzvah chayom. Right? So when we talk about mitzvahs in general, we talk about kol ha-mitzvah, right? The Torah is all the mitzvahs. Aval ha-mitzvah hazos, this mitzvah, al ha-tshuva ha-nizkeres. What's it talking about? It's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not even talking about the Torah in general. It's talking about one specific mitzvah, the mitzvah of tshuva. How does Ramban know that it's the mitzvah of tshuva? He says, because it was ha-nizkeres. It was just mentioned earlier. V'ashavos al-levavecha, v'shavta Hashem lokecha. Right, this is the topic we've been talking about for the last 10 psukim before, right? Which all about how Am Yisrael is going to do tshuva eventually. And he says, so, and then the Torah says, V'ha mitzvah azos. What mitzvah? The mitzvah we've been talking about. The mitzvah of tshuva. Mitzvah shi'etzaveh osanu la'soskein. So not just that it's going to happen, right? First he gives a nevuah. Eventually Am Yisrael is going to do tshuva. And then he says, and by the way, it's also a mitzvah, something, it's not just something that will happen, there's a mitzvah to do it. Right? And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Va mitzvah zos, this mitzvah, don't think it's so far away from you. Right? And he says, V'nemra v'loshen habeinoni l'rmoz v'haftacha ki asit ha-davar las li'yoskein. Right? And it's said in this sort of like in-between way to, you know, in the middle of this promise that it's going to happen. V'atam, right? And what's the reason? Le'mor ki miyed v'yachah b'gzei ha-shamayim v'yata b'yad amim. If you're in a situation where you're now living amongst the non-Jews, tucha lashuv al Hashem, you're still able to do tshuva. V'lasos kechol Hashem nuchim mitzav chayam. You can still do everything that I've commanded you. Ke'ein hadavar nifla v'rachok mimcha. Aval karav yelecha me'od lasos kebechol is uvechol makom. You shouldn't think, you should never think, right, that tshuva is too far away. Doesn't matter where you could be in the worst scenario, way worse than we're in, right? You can be in scenarios where you're in countries that are you know, really horrifying for Jews. And still, you should never think that tshuva is something that's too far away. It's kar v'lecha davar me'od, something that every single person can do. That's what Ramban says. Fine. So the Ramban's argument, again, even though we haven't been talking about the mitzvah of tshuva per se, but that's been the topic, so he wants to argue, that's why this mitzvah must be the mitzvah of tshuva. Fine. As opposed to Rashi, who has this idea of lo b'shamayim, he is used by Chazal as referring to the Torah. So maybe here also is referring to the Torah. Not so well either. Yeah.
Get back to Rashi the answer.
So yes.
His argument is that mitzvah is there a mitzvah to learn, like what
to learn Torah, presumably.
To learn Torah.
Presumably to learn Torah. Yes. We have other places where we're taught the mitzvah of learning, right? Vishinantam levanecha v'dibartavam, the mitzvah of teaching Torah to our children, etc. But he would say this is again. I think Rashi would say this isn't a command to learn. Kiyam mitzvah zos is not a command. But it's teaching me something about it. This mitzvah that I taught you about already, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, just know it's not too far away for you. Because you might think, right? I think it's a very reasonable thing. A lot of people think that about learning. I'm not smart enough. I don't know anything. I don't have a background. I can't. My Hebrew's not so good. Whatever the examples are, it's hard. It's complicated. It requires, you know, all kinds of things. So comes the Torah to give chizik, like, no. This is something that everybody can do. Fine. Okay. So I want to show you a couple of interesting points that are made, one by the Rav, one by the Zan Torah, and then I want to share with you a really, I think, very beautiful idea that Rabbi David Gottlieb said over, and how this connects to, I think, a very special understanding of the mitzvah of tshuva in general. So look at the Rabbi Soloveitchik in source number 5. So he says, Kikar v'lecha davar me'od, everyone see where I am? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little small, I'm sorry. I tried to save one more piece of paper. I don't do well with that in general, so I'm trying to do tshuva. We must formulate a 14th principle of faith, right? It's a joke because there's 13, the Rambam has 13 principles of faith. So we should formulate a 14th. An ani mamin, right? Something we have to believe, which states that this Torah is given to be observed, realized, and fully carried out in every place and at all times. Within every social, economic, and cultural framework, in every technological circumstance, in every political condition. Actually, this ani mamin is intimated in the 9th of the 13 principles of faith, which is that this Torah will never be changed. The Torah was given for realization in the simple society and homogeneous economy of the ghetto, as well as in the modern developed society with its scientifically planned technological economy. The Torah is given for realization both in Gullus, where it relates to the private life of the individual, and to a Jewish state, which must deal with communal issues. The Torah applies not only to those who eat manna and are protected by the clouds of glory, but also those who enter the land, those who will have to organize society within the framework of independent statehood. This animamim was formulated by Moshe during his last day on earth, when he left from the children of Israel. Right? This is Nitzavim, is Moshe Ben's last statement to the Jewish people. He's about to die. Right? So he's standing there on the bank of the Jordan River. They're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he says to them, Lo b'shamayim hi. Right? Ki kar v'lecha davar me'od. Don't think. So, I mean, the Rav is arguing this ki ha-mitzvah zos is like learning, but maybe like all of Torah. Right? The Torah in general. Right? It's not going to be something that once you cross the yard and start creating a whole different type of society, then all of a sudden it's going to fall away from you. Oh, it's for those guys. Yeah, when they sat and they ate mun all day and had nothing to do. So for them, they can keep the Torah. But for us, it's difficult. So that's exactly the point that's going on here. When he left the who were about to transition from a nomadic desert existence into a government in Eretz Yisrael. This animamim rejects all the efforts of those who would improve religion. Reformers who claim that the halacha is unsuitable for our social, scientific, industrial society, and that we must trim the branches in order to save the trunk. The animamin, which says, this thing is very close to you, it is in your mouth and in your heart so you can fulfill it, determines that the halacha is always actual and valid. We solemnly declare that the principle of the eternity of Torah bestows upon us the promise that it is possible to study Torah and to observe it, not only at home and in the ghetto, but everywhere in the world, be it in the modern home, the laboratory, the campus, or the industrial plant, in public as well as in private life. So the Rav uses this, right, in the 1950s, 60s, right, to talk about, or at least the Rav speaks. These are, discourses the Rav gave at Mizrahi conventions, like in the late 50s. So this thing that I always quote from, it's the gray... this gray chumash that they created of the Rav on the chumash. The Rav didn't write a commentary on the chumash. They pull all of his, right, divrei Torah from so many different places and bring them here. So this is quoted from Rav Speaks. But right, the Rav is using this idea, obviously. It's not such a far-fetched pull. It's not like, you know, like a drush. That's what the Pasuk is talking about, right? It's really very much what it means. And so the argument the Rav makes is that this is the argument that the Rav argues that Rav Shrabbeinu is making is, because you think, right, you might think that as the winds change, this is the first time things were changing for Am Yisrael. And so Moshe Rabbeinu makes this statement here now. Why does he make that statement 40 years ago? Because he didn't need it yet. Right? He makes a statement here at the end when he's about to leave them. Right? So they shouldn't think, Chalila, that now that he leaves, okay, so like now that this whole like fun 40-year thing is over, and now it's time to change. The answer is no, it's not going to change. And amazingly, it still hasn't changed. So many thousands of years later. Take a look at source number 6, Rizal Mitzaretz from the Zayim Torah, who I like to quote to you all the time. He says something a little bit different. But he says the following, which I think is very interesting. Mitzvahs, he says, ke mitzvah zos, he says mitzvah shuva. Okay, so many understand that it's mitzvah shuva. V'chein pirshu b'sforno, the Sforno also says, Mitzvah, also one of the Rishonim, also says, v'osifu, v'loni flesi mimcha, shetitztarech l'neviyim. Right? Don't think that it's up in Shemayim only to do tshuva. I can only do tshuva if I can find, you know, a big tzaddik who's going to help me. Right? And it's not across the ocean where other people are. And I want to add on, he says, what is this? Like the rah-rah. Like, don't worry, you can do it. Like, what is this about? Why is it? Because shasavik sheyipolba mipnei shatshuva hi lamala misechal anoshi. Why would someone think they can't do tshuva? Because tshuva is not logical. Tshuva doesn't make sense. It shouldn't ever be allowed, actually. Ukid isib yushami. This is amazing, Yomar Yushami. Kim Yushami Makos says, Shalu lachachma chote mahu onsho. Ask chachma, what's the punishment for someone who sins? Amr lahem? Chatayim tirdof ra. Someone does an aveira, what happens? Bad things should run after them. You do something bad, you get punished. That's how it works. Right? Shalu nevuah, chote mahu oncho. Ask prophecy. What happens to a chote, someone who sins? Amar lahem hanefesh achotas hitamus. Someone who sins should die. That's what happens. You do bad stuff, you get punished. Shaul HaKadosh Baruch Hu chote ma'u onsho. Ask Hashem, what happens to a person who sins? Amar lahem yasa tshuva v'yiskaper lo. Hashem says, no, it's okay. Just say you're sorry and try to do better and have a plan for the future and promise not to do it anymore. And I'll let you off the hook. It was wild. It didn't make any sense. Right? Lefikach, Amar Moshe Yisrael, Al Tomrum Yala Lanu Hashemayim Yekachel Lanu VeYishme'enu Vasa. Don't say, like, I have to go up to Shemayim V'Nasena. O Mi Yavro Lanu Al Hayam. No, rather, I'm giving you something, says Hashem, that makes no sense. Bekar V'Lecha Davar Mod. I know it's illogical. I know it makes no sense. I know it shouldn't work this way. But Hashem says, Kar V'Lecha Davar Mod. It's very close to you. It's easy in a certain sense, right? It's something that you're actually able to do. You can just try to do better, and I'll actually accept it. But he needs to like explain to us, like, don't think it's so far. Don't think it's impossible. Don't think you can't do it. Why? Because we would think it makes no sense. Why would Hashem want me back? Look what I did. Did these terrible things. Shouldn't work. This is the pshat that many explain also is the story of Yonah. And Yonah's so angry. Why is Yonah so angry? Right? Yonah's so angry that Hashem saves Nineveh. There's different reasons. It's because he's going to be nice to them and they're going to hurt Klal Yisrael, whatever. But one of the answers is that Yonah is Yonah ben Amittai, right? He's an Ish Emes. And what does he say about Hashem? If you look at the end of Sefer Yonah, when he complains to Hashem, he says, this is what I said to you, Hashem. I shouldn't go to Nineveh because you're a kel rachim v'chanum erech apayim rav chesed. And he leaves out one word.
MS.
Because you're not MS, Hashem. That's not truth. You're not emistic. If they did something wrong, they should be punished. He's a big kanai, Yonah. People do the wrong thing, off with his head. You know, you got to, people have to have rules, right? Like some people in their house, the parent, mother and father, right? Have to have structure. Yeah, we have to be nice to them. Right? So each family is different who plays each role. Right? So Yonah's like the bad cop. Like, come on, God. Like, do something already. It's not fair. It's not right. And Hashem says, I'm not interested in that. If they do better, if they do tshuva, I'll take them back. So it says, wrote the Zanam Torah so beautifully. So that's why Hashem has to like explain it so much. Don't think it's too far. It's too hard. I can't do it. It's not for me. I'm lost already. No. I'm giving you something. I'm giving you a gift. It is something that doesn't make any sense. The Rav talks about this a lot also. It doesn't make any sense. It's illogical, Shuva. But I'm God. So I can do whatever I want. And I give you that opportunity. Fine.
I didn't realize like doing Shuva is an actual mitzvah.
Yes.
Like it's
It's actually...
its own mitzvah.
It's actually... It's actually... Maybe Shom assume it's a chiv. Especially during the Seder Tshuva. Right, or Shana Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to do tshuva, and a person who doesn't do tshuva has that been mevatel mitzvah. Say, you didn't do it. There's a mitzvah to do tshuva. During that time, the Rambam talks about it like that. It's a little scary. Sorry, I'm trying to be nice, but I'm also scary. Trying to do both, but it's true. It's a mitzvah to do tshuva. It is. It's a mitzvah to do tshuva. So on the one hand, it's a big chesed. On the other hand, now that you have the opportunity,
you better
go after it. Right. Some explain.
Have to be something that comes from in, like after you.
Yes.
We talked about this before, but it's something that comes from in you.
Yes.
Be something that you're commanded
forced
to
do.
Right.
Like other mitzvot that are like emotional, right? Like not to be jealous or not to, right? So like, yeah, you're right. It's the command is to cultivate a personality to become a person. Again, it means to try. You can do the best that you can, but to be a person who starts to think and tshuva means. Well, we're going to define it right now. So we're going to talk about how to define tshuva right now, actually, but because I want to add on one more idea, which I thought was very interesting. Rabbi Gottlieb pointed out that perhaps it's a little bit like an extension that the Ramban's very strong feeling that this mitzvah, hamitzvah zos, is tshuva, is actually echoed by the approach the Rambam has to tshuva, which is a little bit different than some other Rishonim. Now take a look for a second. Take a look at source number 7 and source number 8. Source number 7 is Emunos Vadeos of Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon lived from like the 800s or so, something around that time, and he writes the following, V'inyoni ha-tshuva arba. What are the steps of tshuva? So there are 4 steps of tshuva. What are they? Ha-aziva. Aziva means to leave, to stop doing the aveira. Whatever the aveira is, you have to stop it. Right? Aziva sachet. You have to stop doing the thing. So let's say I'm speak Lashon Hara sometimes. So I have to, Aziva Sachet means I have to stop. Okay? V'acharata, I have to feel bad that I did it. Bakashas Kapara, I have to say I'm sorry. Tell Hashem I'm really sorry that I did that. It's like Vidway, right? Vishi Kabbalah Smov Shalo Yashan. And I have to make an Kabbalah that I'm not going to do it anymore. So again, there's a big discussion. What does it mean? I'm not going to do it anymore. I know that I'm going to make the mistake again. Okay, but I'm making real sincere efforts not to do it again. It doesn't mean that I can promise that it'll never happen. But that if I don't make any efforts and I don't make a plan, I don't try, so then I can't say I'm not going to do it again, right? But I really mean it. I'm really going to try not to do it again. Fine. So what's the order, though? I abandon the Avera. I feel bad. I say I'm sorry. And then I make an acceptance for the future. Chovas Levavos, son of Rebbe, Rebbeinu Bechai, he writes, Gidrei Tshuva Heim Arba. Again, four. What are the four things? Harishon Acharata Mashakadam Lo Min Avonos. I have to feel bad about what I did. Sheni Sheazov Yazveim V'Yasrimim. I have to stop doing them. So that's one and two became two and one, whatever. Vashlushi Sheazvada Behem V'Yivakish HaMechila Alehem. Again, same thing. I have to say I'm sorry. V'Arevi Sheikabal Nafsho Shelo Yashuv La'Sosam B'Libo U'Mitbatsvino. And then I have to make a decision for the future. I'm not going to do it anymore. So both the Chovas Levavos and the Milos Vadeos, they have the Charata, the feeling bad, comes before any future plans. Right? Makes a lot of sense. I should get rid of the bad thing, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do in the future. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Umahi Atshuva, Hushi Yazova Chotei Chato. I have to stop what I'm doing. V'yasiro V'mach Shavto. Get out of my head. V'yigmor Balibo Shelo Yasei Uod. Well, you can fast forward here. He said, I should feel bad, I should stop what I'm doing, and decide for the future, not do it anymore. And also, I have to feel bad about the bad, right? And then he says, and I have to say, so the Rambam totally switches the order. And the Rambam says, he agrees you have to stop first, but then after you stop, you go immediately to a future plan. And after I do my future plans, I go back to feel bad and say vidoy and feel bad about what I did in the past. Kind of a funny order.
All right. Makes a little bit of sense.
Why does it make sense?
Because if you're feeling bad, like sometimes you could just be so deep in that guilt and it like paralyzes you from actually taking action.
Exactly.
And if you take action, then once you made the change, you can look back.
Bingo. Sometimes if we just start in the past, we'll get so stuck in the past that we can't move forward, right? I think we've probably all experienced that before, right? If I just spend my time, you know, like getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, and I'm like, just like all the bad stuff that I do, and making lists, and bad, and bad, and bad, and bad, and bad, like I'm just going to crumble up in a ball, and I'm just not going to do anything, because I just feel so bad about myself, right? But if I make, again, I have to try to stop doing the bad thing, right? But if I start to make a plan, what can I do that's positive, right? What's something positive that I can do now? Boom, right away. What can I start? I want to do better. Good. So I don't like Lashon Hara. Good. So I'm going to start learning the Lesson a Day Chavetz Chaim book every morning for 2 minutes before I start my day or before I go out for coffee with somebody. I'll learn that book for a minute, right? Whatever I'm going to do. I'll decide something that I'm going to do, right, that I want to improve. Okay, so I feel so bad that I'm not, whatever the example is, right? I'm not davening enough. I'm not this enough. Whatever it is that I'm not doing, right? So I'm going to make a plan. Okay, so I'm gonna do Stephen Covey's First Things First, and I'm going to put, if it's, I want to start being more consistent with davening, so I'll put davening in my schedule every day so it's already in. And that way I'll put everything else around that. Whatever it is that I'm going to do, we have real plans for how to move something forward, right? Oh, okay. Now I have, and then like the first day, and by the way, you don't have to wait till Rosh Hashanah. You can start doing right away, whatever it is that you want to do, right? And then you start doing it, and then that feels good. And you're like, oh, this is okay. Now we're moving, right? And yeah, so you should, and then you'll feel bad about the bad thing. Ooh, that was so bad that I did it. I have to stop. I really got to cut that out. And but don't worry, Hashem. I'm already like on my way, and I can feel good about the direction that I'm headed. Why? Because first I put my positive hat on first, and try to do something meaningful, and that catches fire a little, makes me feel good, and then you can get rolling. So the Rambam, presumably, whether he was thinking this psychologically or not, but I think it resonates with us a lot, that you do something positive and you get yourself moving, then I can deal with the past. But if I haven't decided to move forward yet, I can get so swallowed up in the past that I can't do it. Yeah.
I feel like that also mirrors what we do when someone dies. Like, you don't sit shiva right away. You have to go and you get the body ready and you bury and you have the funeral. And only then do you sit and start your real mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, like, not necessarily shiva or anything, but just like if you just jump right into shiva before doing that, like,
you can get swallowed up.
Yeah. Like, how are you going to ever get up out of that chair and then officially say goodbye? Right. Like, you have to do that first to be able to start that process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So exactly. So this idea of the Rambam, so we got about to argue, that actually fits perfectly into why this mitzvah in this week's parsha is called HaMitzvah Hazos is Tshuva. Why? Because the Torah understands the psychology of a human being. What's with all the cheerleading? When time for Shabbos doesn't say, Shabbos, I know it's hard, but like, you're going to do it, and it's going to be great, and it's not too far, it's not too hard for you. I promise you, it's going to be awesome. Like, you're the best, and you can do it. What is going on here? It's not like, kosher, I know it's a hard thing. These are kosher birds. These are non-kosher things, and just finish. What?
Shiva's hard in a different way. Shiva's self-reflection. That's
hard.
That's on you.
Yeah.
You know, Shabbos, I mean, personally, I can't fathom that anyone would not love Shabbos. but
somebody never kept Shabbos. Shabbos can be very hard.
But, you know, Shabbos is okay. That's something that I have to do, and maybe it's hard, but that's not on me. That's something that I need to do, maybe that I need to, you know, work on, or I need to figure out.
It's separate. It's not, it's not fundamental to who I am. Right. Right. Exactly. And so because tshuva is so, it's so hard, right? It feels so like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do here, right? So the Torah says, go for it. I promise you, it's not as hard as it seems. And by the way, it's like on Shabbos about davening, tshuva is also so important. Tshuva is not all or nothing, okay? I do not believe that any person in this, what should I just say? I don't believe that I could say to Hashem, I will never speak Lashon Hara ever again. I can put things in place to try and to get better at it, right? But that's very hard. And if that becomes the bar, it's all or nothing, then I might as well give up, right? But if I get better at it, there's value in that. There's a lot of value in that. The video actually talks about the idea of mitzvah tshuva. Sometimes there's tshuva, it's like you didn't finish it yet, but you've done some, right? And that has value also. I think it's very important that when we talk about tshuva, we do not talk about tshuva as all or nothing. It is not all or nothing. Many of the mefarshim talk about it that way. And it's instinctive that it can't be all or nothing, because then no one would really be successful. Because right? None of us can get past all of our stuff in one fell swoop. It's not the way a human being works. So, but this idea, right, and like almost hearing the Torah tell you, right, I can't do that. It's too far. It's too hard. For tzaddikim, for this person, for that guy, for the rabbi, for whoever. Like, yeah, they can do that, but I don't. That's not for me, right? And the Torah is saying it's not true. It's, and by the way, it's not just karov. How karov is it? Me'od. Me'od. Karov lecha davar. Eitan Katz talks about this when he sings his song. But like, karov me'od. It's like super close. Super close. I have such a nice word, but I can't tell it to you because I'm a Santa Rosh Hashanah. about how close it is. About how close it is. But I do that sometimes. I blow it. Sometimes I say it, and I'm like, oh, got it. But me'od, so close. That's not something the Torah says, right? Me'od, it's so close. And what's the point? The point is that it's for every single person, for every Jew. There's no person who can't do it. So, yeah, it's way better if this is tshuva now, right, than if it's the Torah. But I think that messaging. So the point that Rabbi Gottlieb makes, I just think, it's not, you don't have to say this, but I think it's next. I think it's true anyways if it's tshuva. But if you take this approach to the Rambam, right, that's psychologically so difficult, and that's why we have to kind of psych ourselves up and do the positive first in order to get ourselves going. So it makes a lot of sense, right? The language of Kikar Belecha Davar Me'od. No, you can do it, I promise. It's really something that everybody can do. So I think, you know, if there's nothing else that we need to remind ourselves as we head into Rosh Hashanah. And by the way, I think a lot of times we we have Elul, and like Elul's like so busy in school and this, and everything's getting started. And now it's like, oh gosh, all of a sudden it's Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. The more we can like take a few minutes before we walk into Shul Rosh Hashanah, like sometime this week, to sit down a little bit. I used to tell people with a piece of paper, maybe you guys also do, or your phone, whatever you like, and to like jot down some thoughts, not how bad you are, but like things that I can do, something I can choose, something I can practically. And if you get started before Rosh Hashanah, wow, like gevaldik. Then you roll into Rosh Hashanah, like you're already on the tshuva train. You're already getting going. Like that's such a nice way to walk in, rather than to walk and be like, oh gosh, I didn't do anything. Great, and probably if you don't do anything until Rosh Hashanah, it's still not too late. But it's nice. Elul is a big gift, and I think a lot of times we squander it because there's so much else going on. Parent-teacher conferences tonight, and this thing, and that thing, and we don't get the chance. But I think that the more we can remind ourselves, Kikar v'lecha davar me'od, it's really something that all of us can access in some way. It's not so far away from us. It's something that's very real for each of us, because we all have things to improve on. So there's always something we can do, and something small in some way. And if we do that, then, you know, we'll put ourselves in a position for Mirtz Hashem, a wonderful, wonderful, good year for the Jewish people, for ourselves, for all of Klal Yisrael. It should be a year of Besoros Tovos, of safety and security for all of Am Yisrael, returning all the hostages, Mirtz Hashem, and it should be a good year for all of us.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.